So a couple of things I want to share. First of all, Dr. Fulbright sharing the announcement a couple of weeks ago about the votes that took place is so significant. First of all, anytime we pass constitutional amendments in the church that require two-thirds majority in the United Methodist Church around the world, we can't pass an amendment that says the sky is blue. But we did it on all four of those with no less than 90% agreement about who we want to be. That's a big deal. The other thing I want to recognize is Corey Bickle, who just read scripture a year ago this month, suffered a major stroke. He was not able to walk. He was not able to speak. And here he is today, not only reading scripture in church, he and his wife are resuming their ministry of making the turkeys and leading the meal service that we'll be conducting for Thanksgiving. And what a great thing it is to see Corey today. What a year it's been. Let us pray. Oh Lord, help us not forget you're great. And help us always to trust that. Amen. I want to go back and remind us of something that I said at the start of this series a few weeks ago. This is our last Sunday talking about this topic of mine, and that is when children get to that stage at about 2 years old and they say, mine. It's not appealing. It might even be something we want to correct them for saying, but it is a healthy part of development. Children do not yet have the ability to take on the perspectives of other people, but they are coming to a perspective that I am a me. I am a developing self. And you can't get to we if you don't say me. So it reflects healthy development. Now, there's a whole field of psychology about what goes into a developed, healthy self. It means you're loved. It means you have security. It means somebody is showing understanding of your needs. To put it in spiritual parlance, it means you feel blessed. Now, without that sense of healthy blessing, we is a threat. We just comes off as other people who are going to deplete your blessings even more. Or, without that healthy sense of being blessed, it means that when you engage in things that benefit others, that live toward we, it comes out of a depletion. It can be done, but sometimes it's done with a sense of obligation and burden, and there's not much joy. But when you, with a blessed sense, can say mine, you'll get to a place where you can say, and our. Nearly 100 years ago, Harry Emerson Fosdick, the great preacher of Riverside Church in New York City, talked about this concept of our as humanity's greatest need. I want to read a collection of statements he made at the beginning of that sermon, and I want you to keep in mind nearly 100 years ago. He said, "A single look at the world reveals how deplorably we're split up into fragmentary and conflicting individuals and groups. We humans ought to be a cooperative community using the resources of this planet for the common good, and we are not. In practically every service of public worship in the church, we employ the Lord's Prayer. But how many have clearly noted one of its most outstanding characteristics? When we pray, say, our Father. No more vital problem confronts humanity today than learning to say, our. While countless forces crowd us together, many tear us apart. Economic forces breaking us up into angry and competing groups. racial antipathies making us hate one another, national hostilities making us fight one another. And through all these, the moral factors, envy, covetousness, prejudice, and all uncharitableness that prevent community. The most desirable blessings in human life come from fellowship, from beautifully putting things together with the right sense of their community. God cried to hydrogen and oxygen and said, "Say our." And when they learned to write the principle of community, water came and rain and dew and the sea. What is true in nature is true in human life. We cannot have anything we want unless we share it. We cannot be saved unless we are saved together. We are one body with many members. We better say our. Well, if the old preacher is correct at all, then it means that our right and best choices are the ones that include our. So on this Sunday, when we carry out an annual ritual here at St. Luke's of pledging to support the ministry of this church for the coming year ahead, a choice that has many implications, not only of ministry, but of lives changed. As we consider our choice again today and for this year before us, I want us to go back to a place in history that is where human beings first began to say our. Take a look at the map. This is a picture of the Middle East. And you can see that that green arc, that is known as the Fertile Crescent. That region is also known as the cradle of civilization. The archaeological remains there show the first settlements of humankind, the first towns, the first cities. In other words, it is in this place where human beings first began to say our. So there was a man named Terah who had three sons, Abraham, Nahor, and Haran. Haran died. He had one son named Lot. Abraham and his wife Sarah did not have any children. And for reasons we do not know, Terah felt an urge to leave the city where they lived called Ur, located in what is today southern Iraq, and make their way toward Canaan, located along the Mediterranean Sea. Now, as you look at that map, you can see that the direct route from Ur to Canaan, a straight line that would be much shorter, goes through a lot of brown. That brown means there's nothing fertile there. No water sources for their cattle, no pastures in which to feed, and it's really, really hot. So Terah leaves with his family, and they head north up the Fertile Crescent, where they could manage to still care for themselves. They got as far as a place called Haran, and they settled there. Again, we don't know why. Perhaps Terah felt like, you know what, we're prospering here, we're doing fine, and dadgummit, I'm sick and tired of moving. We're just gonna stay right here. For whatever reason, Terah lived out his days in that place, and that's when it happened. Abraham received a call from God. Something inside of Abraham's being in which he felt God saying to him, continue the journey of your father. Take your wife, all your possessions, everything you have, and go to a land I will show you. Now, two things about that call. Those words, everything you have, all your possessions, those words show up regularly in the stories about Abraham. It means that God's call on Abraham doesn't involve just Abraham. It involves his family. It involves everything. Even Abraham's cows get caught up in his call. The other thing to notice is God says, go to a land I will show you. Now that's pretty nonspecific, isn't it? And I'm sure Abraham would like to know, where exactly are we going, God? I will let you know when we get there. And when exactly will that be? I will let you know. And where will we be when we get there? And God says, I'm less concerned right now with where than I am when. Get moving, Abraham. And he does. He goes with everything he has in pursuit. And this is where we read an interesting story. It's about Abraham and Lot. Because his brother died, leaving his son without a dad, and Abraham and Sarah not having any children, chances are Abraham took Lot and adopted him as their own son. And so this part of the story happens next. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, but the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. Now who says the Old Testament is out of date? How many families have you known whose possessions were so great they could not stay together? So Abram comes up with an idea. He says to Lot, let's not have any quarreling between you and me or between your herders and mine, for we're close relatives. Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. So Lot looks out and he looks in one direction and it's brown. It's desert. No pastures. He looks in the other direction and it's green and fertile. In other words, it has the promise of blessing. And he has the choice. And he says, I think I will go that way. Now, what's going on in this story? Abraham is exercising his power to choose. He's the uncle, after all. He could say to his nephew, now look here. Your people are arguing with my people, and I'm going to sort this out right now. You're going to go this way, and I'm going this way. You understand? Don't mess with me. But he doesn't do that. He says, we're relatives. Let's not have bickering between us. You determine which way you go. I'll go the other. And that's an important choice because it means it's going to affect Abraham's future. It might affect his well-being. He is going to go in the direction that does not hold the promise of blessing. What would allow Abraham to exercise a choice that is not just mine, but our? Well, certainly one thing that gave Abraham the ability to make a choice like that was his personal experience that God is going to provide for him, that God is looking after him. Remember, God called Abraham and said, I will bless you. That blessing was to have so many descendants, they would become a nation, a huge number of people. But as of yet, Abraham and Sarah didn't even have one child. And Abraham did get shaky about that promise. In fact, when a famine came, Abraham and Sarah went to Egypt just to survive. They got down there with all of their possessions, and then Abraham got scared. He thought, my wife is beautiful. What if Pharaoh takes a liking to my wife? He'll just have me killed and take her. So he comes up with a plan. And with amazing, amazing courage and moral fiber, look at what he says to his wife. When the Egyptians see you, they'll say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but let you live. Say you are my sister, so that I'll be treated well for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. What a stand-up guy, huh? But that's exactly what happened. Pharaoh took a liking to Sarah under the assumption that Abraham was the brother. And God intervened and warned Pharaoh. And Pharaoh takes Sarah back to Abraham and says, why did you deceive me? Take your wife. Take everything. Get out of here. But what that did for Abraham was it confirmed for him that this promise of a God who said, I will bless you, was not a figment of his imagination. He now had another little indicator that God was looking after him, that somebody up there is looking after me. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had some simple signs and experiences in your life? Maybe in periods when you were deeply questioning God's faithfulness, and something that maybe to any other person would seem so insignificant, they'd never pay attention to it, but it's your sign and it's your message, and you say, it lets me know God's looking after me. Someone in our church who had that experience recently, Shelley Clausen, our director of outreach and justice, they took a mission trip to Africa, and I've asked Shelley if she would come and share that little bit of an experience with us today.
During COVID, I had a series of painful experiences that resulted in us leaving our church where our family had been for 28 years. That involved leaving my job on staff at that church, losing the people that I loved dearly, our church family, and actually struggling with my purpose and very identity. One specific thing I lost was my primary place of serving, which was a mission in East Africa where I had worked and visited about a dozen times over 10 years. That chapter of my life slammed shut, and the realization that I would never return broke my heart. And I sat at the bottom of a pit for a very long time, wondering what could ever come from these ashes. In 2022, God started writing me a new story, however, here at St. Luke's. If you know me, you know how much I love my work here. I am more fulfilled than ever. I love this church, and I love serving alongside of you. And I know that God is using this chapter of my life to do some pretty amazing things for God's kingdom. A couple of months ago, I got to go with a group from St. Luke's to Angel House in Tanzania, back to East Africa. I actually hoped this trip would give me some closure for that painful chapter of my life. But God is still creating something new. The reminder of that came through the smallest of things. I think there's a picture of this little rainbow-colored elephant that I found at a market. I have seen hundreds, maybe thousands, of these little soapstone animals in my travels. In fact, I bring one home with me from every trip. I have a blue one, a green one, a yellow one, etc. But it wasn't until this trip with my new beautifully inclusive church family that for the first time I saw one painted with all the colors of the rainbow. And I knew this little thing represented the new thing that God was doing in my life, restoring all that was lost in this new and creative way. I don't believe God caused that difficult season to happen. Everything does not happen for a reason. But I do believe God did not waste that pain in my life. God brought me out of that pit as a new person with a stronger faith, and God is not done with my story yet.
Have you got a little multicolored elephant? Something that for you says, this is my reminder that God is looking after me. Somebody up there is looking after me. It can be so easy to discount them, and even worse, forget about them. But we all need things we hold on to that let us know God has not forgotten us. Those kinds of signs and reminders are important. Not because God gives us such experiences so that we will never have to worry again. It is to give us a reason to display faith when times of worry come along again. So here's a reflection question for you. How do my choices reflect a trust in God's provision and goodness? One other thought about the Abraham story and what might have allowed him to offer such a choice to his nephew that would impact his own future is Abraham chose what would bring harmony to people. He chose what would bring harmony. He wanted to do that would keep him and his nephew Lot in good, positive relationship and also their family, because you never know, even though they separate, you never know what the future holds. And when they come back together, he wants them to be in a good place. Abraham chose people. He chose our. If you're a parent of a young child, and it really discourages you when you see your child saying, "Mine, mine." And you think, "How am I gonna get my child out of this stage? Dadgummit, this is getting embarrassing. They say it when we go to church. I don't like this. What am I gonna do to change it?" About the best thing you can do, parent, is not preach. It's not scold. It's to give them an example, to show them what it looks like to choose our, because it will register inside them. When they get to the place where their psyches can take on the understanding of other people's perspectives and needs, and that's where we're meant to get, they're gonna have something inside of them that says, "Yes, that's what I wanna be about." I've known so many families who had rituals of caring for other people, especially in the holidays, doing activities as a family that were about mission and service and helping others. And when those little children grow up to be adults, they will remember those times. They will say, "Those were some of my favorite memories." Let me give you an example. Rob and Kathy Wineland in our church are people who have regularly participated in activities that help other people. And when their girls were little, they would engage in Angel Tree, in Thanksgiving ministry, all kinds of events through our church that would just help them understand what it means to say our. Well, last February, I had the honor of conducting the wedding for their daughter, Abby, and her husband, Zach. Recently, they moved to Valparaiso, where they have become involved in First United Methodist Church. Well, just recently, the website for the Food Bank of Northwest Indiana posted a story that Abby and Zach started what they called a SnapGap drive to raise food donations for hungry people in their neighborhoods. And they would pack their van full of these food donations and then drive all over the community giving these things out. Where did they get that idea from? I wonder. I wonder. The most powerful choice we ever make is the choice for our, the choice for others. And this choice of ours today, if you have your intention to give card, I invite you to take that out. Yesterday, hopefully, you received the annual report of our church. And if you didn't, it hopefully is going to be in your mailbox very soon. This celebrates what our year in ministry through St. Luke's has looked like and the lives that have been touched, because every choice we make to support St. Luke's has an hour in it. It has people who are being impacted by the ministries that we provide, and it has never, ever been more significant than right now. And so we take a moment, as we do every year, to fill out a card that this deal is so much bigger than just, well, what can I afford to give the church this year? This card represents, what do I really believe? What do I believe about life? What do I believe about this world? And what do I believe about God? And how do I want my choices to reflect that belief? That I believe at the end of the day, it's people that matter most. So I want to invite you to take a moment to fill out your card. And as you get ready to do that, as we do again every year, we see a kind of year in ministry review video. And I want you to take a look at this video and think of what it says about the understanding of choices that people made last year that have our in it. Take a look.
Father, in our hearts you've placed a prayer for the mission of your kingdom everywhere. To be doers of the word, to be a people of good works that you've prepared. The fruits of faith are pure and unstained. Serve orphans and widows in their pain. To keep ourselves from pride and in trial and temptation to remain. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done. Let us be your hands and feet, Lord, let us serve as one.
I believe this is